That's too long, but we've studied other books, don't we? The same thing. 1 John 1. What a book. And I intended to go through the first four verses only and then deal with beginning with verse 5 to the end of the chapter on Wednesday, but couldn't hardly get past verse 1. Look at it. Verse 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. Read on. For the life was manifested. We have seen, and it is in italics, meaning there's just not a word to describe. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. There's no glowing, you don't need a glowing introduction to this. That was it. The word speaks for itself. He called it the word of life, verse 1, the word of life. You know, people reveal their ignorance of God, the Son of God, the word of God, when they speak of this book as merely a book, a powerful book. Your people say this is a powerful book. Well, they say that about other books. I read a book and it's powerful. There's no power in things. There's no power in this book. It's just words on paper. God's word is His power. The only way this works powerfully on us is if God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us. You know it's true because you can read it and read it and read it. It has no power on you at all. No effect on you at all. I do the same thing. I read it all the time, and I no sooner quit reading it, I just forgot everything. I forgot it all. But now if God speaks to you, and this is why I say I hope and pray that this right here is more than a Bible study. It's no profit just to have a Bible study for information, to learn things, to learn facts, to learn these things in our head. That is of no value. But if God speaks to our heart, because out of the heart are the issues of life. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If God speaks to our heart, He must speak. This is His voice, if and only when He speaks to us. And so that's why I tell us, and I remind myself also, in reading this book, don't merely read it for the sake of reading it, but ask the Lord. Before you read it, while you're reading it, ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me. I need for you to speak to me through this word. I need for you to teach me. I need for you to show me, lead me, guide me. Or else it's just a book. A book. Now the fact that Christ is called the Word, that's what He's called in. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. We're going to look at John 1. It's one of your favorites. But this is the same, isn't it? It's like reading John chapter 1. You say, John wrote that too. Yes, he did. But no, God wrote it. Christ wrote it. The fact that Christ is the Word tells us that we have to see Him. We have to hear Him. He has to speak to us through it, or we don't get anything from Him. He said here in verse 1, the very first word, he is, I don't want to say trying. God doesn't try to say anything. And John is not trying to say anything. And yet, he is speaking of the incomparable, or that is the one who cannot be compared to anyone else. He's speaking of the incomprehensible. Impressed with that? That is, we cannot understand, we cannot comprehend. Flesh can't comprehend God. So he's declaring one who cannot really be put into words. And he says, that. That. Which was from the beginning. That, which was from the beginning. When the angels announced the birth of the Christ child, Isaiah 7 says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. A virgin conceive? It's not possible. No, with men it's not possible. With God, a virgin did conceive. This is the woman's seed. A virgin did conceive. And when the angels came to announce his birth, you know how they referred to him? There's never been anything like it. There's never been one like him. There's never been. And they said, that holy thing which is in her is called the Son of God, the only begotten. The only bodily image, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. The creator of the world made himself a body. A body hast thou prepared me, he said. He made himself to be flesh. He who is God is spirit became flesh. Oh, great is the mystery of godliness. It's still a mystery. I'm trying to explain the unexplainable, declare the undeclarable. John simply said that. He who created the worlds, and this is why men didn't believe him then, and this is why men don't believe him now, they just call him Jesus. But those whom he has revealed himself to, they see him like Thomas as my Lord and my God. But that man is none other than God manifest in the flesh. That passage in 2 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And it goes on to say that he was seen of angels. Oh, my. That's 1 Timothy 16. Seen of angels. The angels. When they saw him born, they knew who this was. They had worshipped him for millenniums. And all of a sudden, what's he doing? Look at this. That holy thing. That holy one. That. John says that. In our text, he says that which was from the beginning. We've heard him. That which was from the beginning. How does the Bible begin? In the beginning. In the beginning. God. How does John chapter 1 begin? In the beginning. The Word was made flesh. I mean, the Word was God. Christ is God. Revelation 1 begins this way. Revelation 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then over in nearly the end of the book of Revelation, so from the beginning of the book to the end of the book, in the end of the book, he says, I am the beginning and I am the end. The first words in the Bible are in the beginning. The last word, two words, are the end. Christ said, that's me. First, the last, the beginning, the end. That which was from the beginning. How many times have you heard this? I first heard it from my pastor, and you continue to hear it from me. That the Old Testament is saying someone is coming. Someone is coming since man fell. And Christ came to the first sinners in the garden. It was Christ who came and spoke to Adam and Eve, the Word. The same one that was in the beginning, who created all things by his word. In chapter 1. It was Christ who came and told those two sinful human beings, someone's coming. The woman's seed is coming. In all those books through Malachi, someone's coming. Then the Gospels say, the Gospels begin this way, the generation of Jesus Christ. When Christ came, the Gospels say, he's here. He's here. The epistles and the revelation say, he's coming again. The end of the revelation, he says, behold, I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. You make a short work of this thing. So that's who, that is who this Bible is about, the book. Not what, but who. Paul said, you know, Paul knew the Bible. Saul of Tarsus knew the letter of the law. Saul of Tarsus could quote scripture. He didn't know God. He didn't know Jesus Christ. He didn't know what the Bible was about, or rather, who. And when Christ came to him, when did he find out the truth? When did he find out? When did he know God? When did he know himself? When did he know, have light? When did he have an understanding? When? It's when Christ came to him personally and spoke, Saul, Saul. And then Paul went from knowing what he believed to who. He said, I know whom I believe. My pastor used to always say, you don't arrive at Christ through doctrine, or that is, you come to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. No, sir. You arrive at doctrine through Christ. Once you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, everything clears up. Once God speaks to you through his word, I am that I am, you realize he is God in him. You didn't know him before. You thought he was a God, that you had to let me God. You thought, we thought that he was just Jesus and he was hoping, wishing, planning, wanting, just hoping so much you would let him into your heart. But when he came to you and gave you a new heart, life from the dead, then you found out you're in his hands totally to do with as he pleases. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know him. Saul of Tarsus thought he had free will. Then when the Lord came to him, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? See, life is in knowing a person. He that hath, not doctrine, but a person. And when you finally meet the person, when he speaks to you, look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. Do you like that verse? Elizabeth, I'm talking to you. Look. Do you like that verse? When he speaks to you, I am God. And I've chosen you. That you might know me. That I am he. Everything clears up. No more argument. Who chose who? Are you kidding? Are you serious? Is man dead? I was. I don't know about you. We're going to look at Levi in the next message. He's sitting there counting his money. If Christ hadn't come to him, spoken to him, he'd have died counting his money. He knew. He knew, didn't he? That. And you know, you really can't describe salvation, can you? You try to tell people what the Lord did for you, and you can talk to them all you want, but if they haven't experienced it, they don't understand it. My wife, went out to eat dinner with some people. Some neighbors invited us. They kept inviting us. And so we did. We went out to eat with publicans and sinners. And we were sitting there, and I got up to use the restroom, and I came back, and about that time I heard her talking about me, and she was talking about how the Lord revealed himself to me. And isn't that the language we use when we talk about how the Lord saved us? He revealed himself to me. And the world, they can't understand. What do you mean? You see a vision? Did he come to you in the night? And no. Paul wrote it in Galatians 1, didn't he? So when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. And that's not something you can describe. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when the Lord revealed himself to so-and-so, and the world doesn't understand it. They will if he reveals himself. Oh, now I see. I didn't see, now I see. Why? Because like Bartimaeus, who gave you, like the man of John 9? Who healed you? He did. Once was blind, now I see. That. I may not get past the first word. That. Which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory. This is what John is, or rather who John is speaking of. He's talking about a person. That one of whom the scriptures speak, that one of whom God only spoke out loud a couple of times, and he spoke of one thing, that holy one, his son. And he told the whole world one thing. God told the whole world one thing then, and he tells the whole world one thing now. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Stop listening to everyone else. This is the word. You want to know God? This is the only way. This one, this Christ. You want to know yourself? You want to know the truth? The only one way, the only one way, one truth, one life, one way to have life. And this is not a how-to either. I hope and pray the Lord, some in this very room, the Lord has not spoken to yet. Many and I were just talking about this on the way over here. We hope and pray, and you can't. You know, she has such a burden for our children, and she gets animated, and so do I. Why? Because we want them to hear, but they're not going to hear until God is pleased. But buddy, when he's pleased, they're going to hear. That which we have heard. See, faith cometh by hearing. This is how life begins. It's really another... Faith is really another word for life, eternal life. I've told you my story so many times, but this is my story. Do you like to tell your story? Well, I love to tell my story. If the Lord has done something for you, you love to tell people about it, don't you? Well, this is my story, okay? I'm the preacher's kid. I hear message after sermon after sermon. I go here, I go there. I didn't want to go there. My parents took me there. And I thought it was cruel and unusual punishment to make me listen to all this preaching. But they knew what I did not know. They knew that the gospel, the scripture, was the only thing able to make me wise unto salvation. That the only way I was going to hear from God is through his word. So they took me. They took me. Asking, begging, pleading with the Lord, speak to our son. And my dad was the most powerful preacher on earth at the time. And he couldn't do it because I heard message after message after message. You got to say it. But God. Year after year, message after message, sermon after sermon, I heard my dad. That's my dad. That's my dad. That's Henry Mahan. That's my dad. I'm his son. But I didn't hear a thing. And amazingly, this is the way the Lord often does things. I went with a couple, the Lord was working on me. My pastor used to call it grace before grace. I think other people saw it before I did. But anyway, I went with a couple in the church, and they had a young son near my age, and we went to Danville, Kentucky. My dad was preaching for, I think Don was there, maybe not, maybe the man before him. But he was preaching in a meeting in Danville, Kentucky. All right, I heard all these messages at 13th Street. Is this familiar to anybody? You got to go somewhere else. I went down there, okay, I'm sitting there, and my dad is the speaker. He spoke to me. I had to go all the way down there. Kind of like Lydia had to leave Asia or Bithynia to go to Philippi, and then over spoke. I was sitting there, and I was the only one in the room. And it wasn't my dad. I was not even looking in the face of my dad. The Lord was speaking to me like an arrow piercing my heart. Me. He's talking to me. And that's what he's got to do for all our sons and daughters, doesn't he, Brother Matt? That's what he's got to do for all our unsaved spouses and parents and children and grandchildren. That's what he's got to do. And so that's what we pray. Lord, make them hear. Would you speak to them? I've spoken, and they won't hear. Would you speak? That which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes. John, in a sense, he is trying to tell us what can't be told until you see it for yourself. The woman at the well. She heard him, and then she finally saw who he was. She dropped her water pot. She went running home. What'd she say? Come see a man. He tried to tell people. Come see. Come hear, that is. See his glory. We've seen his glory. That's what I just quoted to you from John 1. As of the only begotten, we don't see with these eyes. Our Lord is seated in the heavens. He's invisible to the eye, naked eye. But I see his face on every page, don't you? I see his glory. I see him. The heavens declare his glory. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, I hear his voice. Day unto day, utter to speak. The world says it thundered. That's what they said when Saul of Tarsus heard him, didn't they? It's just thundered. No, Saul heard his voice. And when it thunders, I hear his voice too, don't you? The voice of the Lord, Psalm 29, full of majesty. One time my daughter was about 3 years old, standing at her in her window. She's 35 now. Ah, my. Yesterday, she was standing in her little window. I'll never forget it. I kind of love that girl, you know. She was standing at her window, and there was a thunderstorm outside. She was standing there, that little silhouette, looking out there outside, had a little doll baby in her arm. She said, and it thundered, and she said, I see him. I said, who, honey? God. Well, in her little childish way, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, the gospel has thundered forth in my presence at time, and only then, and then only do I see God. I see. He is God, isn't he? I see myself. I see Christ. I see the world for what it is. Like the ark of Noah, it was one window, right? One window. Only one source of light. Only one way you could see out, see clearly. You're on the inside. If you're on the inside, looking out, you see things clearly as they are. What did you see? If you were looking out that window at the world, what did you see? What would you have seen, Brother Wesley, had you looked out the ark of that window of the ark? What would you have seen? A world perishing. And then you saw clearly with your mind's eye. You understood clearly with your heart. Thank God I'm in this ark. Thank God I'm not outside. Thank God who put me in this ark, who revealed himself to me, who put his fear in me, who gave me an understanding of him and myself and my need of Christ. Oh, I want to win. This is why Paul said, I want to win Christ and be found in him. And this is the window. This is the light. Christ is the light. We look at this world through the eye of God, clearly, the light of God, and we see clearly it's a perishing world. It's just a dying world. That which we have looked upon, verse 1, we've looked upon it. The word means gazed. Couldn't take their eyes off of it. They couldn't take their eyes off of it. That which we've gazed upon, looked upon. They saw him. When they finally saw him, you know, many saw the miracles. But they saw no beauty in him that they should desire him. They didn't see themselves. They didn't see their neck. They saw the miracle. They were amazed, but they didn't follow him. They didn't leave everybody and everything. These disciples did. Oh, they saw him. They saw him heal the blind. They saw him heal the lame. They saw him heal lepers. They heard him command fish. Stop the ocean. Stop the wind. Stop. And it says they gazed on him and they look at one another and thought, what manner of man is this? They saw him walk on the ocean. They saw him raise the dead. And I've seen all of these things a little bit. I've seen blind people in this room suddenly have their eyes open. Deaf people, their ears open. Lame people, had no faith whatsoever, began walking. Quickened, raised up, and began walking and following Christ. I've seen lepers, sinners, changed. And he goes on to say, close with this, our hands have handled the word of life. Hands have handled. Now, if you love somebody, you can't keep your hands off of them. You know, if you love somebody, you want to touch them. You want to touch them. Somebody, you know, I'm kind of touchy-feely. Well, if you love somebody, you got to touch them. You want them to touch you. You want to embrace them. You want to hug them, don't you? You want to feel their hand. You want to feel their arm around you. You want to put your arm around them. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Every time you'd find them together, John would just kind of snuggle up to the Lord. Kind of like a dog, you know. Your dog love you? He gonna be around you? Saddles up to you, you know. Well, Sophie, my second granddaughter, is one of these touchy-feelies. She just, if I'm sitting in my chair, she's gonna come sit in my lap. She's 9 years old now. 9 years old. And she wants to sit in my lap. Well, do I let her? Oh my. I hope when she's 19, she'll want to come sit in my lap. That's love. And the gospel talks about whom you lay hold of. If you hear this gospel and you're a sinner, you're going to grab hold like Jacob and say, I will not let you go. Do you bless me? Don't let go of me. I don't want to let go of you. I'm afraid. If you love the Lord, you lay hold of this gospel with the eye of faith, with the hand of faith. You embrace this truth. You love him. You love his people. You love his word. You love his gospel. That's because it's the word of life. Life has begun. I was going to have you turn to John 6, but I closed. Our Lord was the greatest preacher ever, wasn't he? And many heard him preach and left. Why? He didn't choose them. He didn't speak to them, right? Well, whoever he chose, he spoke to effectually, created life. They heard him. They dropped everything. They followed him. And they fell in love with him. And they couldn't keep their hands off of him. Bless God. He'll never take his hands off us either. But Some of them it says, walk no more with him. This is too hard. I don't believe this. As he talked, our Lord talked about his sovereignty, talked about no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. We don't like that. I'm the bread of life. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, I don't understand. I do. I can't fully comprehend it. I can't really even describe it. But I just know he's given me a hunger, a thirst. He's given me this life, and he created it through the word. And I got to have Christ. Let me sum it up. Here's life. Here's when life began. You got to have Christ. You got to. You got to have this gospel. You got to have this word. And you don't want, and you drop everything and everyone for him, to hear him. It's not just a formal ceremony. It's not just a Sunday go to meeting. This is life. That's what Simon Peter said. Our Lord said, okay, will you go away also? Everybody else is leaving. They've had enough. Simon said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we believe and are sure. We don't just believe it, we know it. You're the Son of God. And you know what our Lord said? I chose you. That's why. Now, is that your confession? Is that your need? Have you heard him? Huh? Have you heard him? Have you seen something of his glory? Have you looked upon him? Amazement. Amazing grace. Brother John was talking about, he was sitting in the back seat telling us how, I'm just amazed. He kept talking about, just amazed that the Lord would choose me and reveal himself to that. Is this gospel amazing to you? Have you laid hold of him and don't want to let go and don't want him to let go of you, and you need him more than anyone or anything else? Do you? Is that you? Then life. You have life. He that hath the Son hath life. All right.